Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the 20th day of May, 2007. Welcome to the John Moore Show. I was a guest on another show earlier today and had some interesting discussions about earth changes and the threats facing the men and women and children of the United States of America right now in May of 2007. It was a fascinating discussion. And there are many threats, and people need to know about these threats on one hand. On the other, don't get too caught up in trying to predict when things are going to happen. And then, in turn, base your preparation now or future preparation on this knowledge. That's not the way to go about this, quite frankly. In my opinion, preparation should be incorporated into your lifestyle. It should be something that you make and do prudently, prudent preparations, and still have a good life, employment, friends, family, social interaction, and so forth, active in your community. That, in my opinion, that's the way it should be. It should be part of what you do every day, every week of your life, and just become part of your life. The men and women who are closest to these events, the veterans who know, especially the submarine veterans, who know about abrupt climate change and what that means in the not-too-distant future. The ones I know, that's what they've done. They didn't necessarily want to live in the Ozarks, but they understood that it was the safest place to provide a safe haven for their families. And they made the move. They made the tough decision. They investigated. They did their research. They found a community that they thought was to their liking, bought a place where they could live and have a life. And life goes on. Life goes on. That's important. This is your chance to ask the expert, so to speak. I am an expert when it comes to preparedness and the use of firearms and defensive measures of that nature. When I was on the air this morning, I mentioned Queen Elizabeth visiting the NASA Goddard Space Flight Institute not quite 2 weeks ago, May the 8th of this month. Now, the NASA website has some nice photographs of her and her husband, Prince Philip, visiting the NASA Goddard Space Flight Institute, and a very well-done public relations assortment of stories and photographs. However, in my opinion, the wealthiest, probably the wealthiest and most powerful woman on the face of the earth, did not go there for the things that were stated in the well-written press releases. Instead, I feel she went there to be briefed. The NASA Goddard Space Flight Institute is the location where the best qualified PhD scientists live and work, studying the Gulf Stream, which scientists call the North Atlantic Thermohaline Conveyor, and other matters related to abrupt climate change, rising ocean levels, and so forth. This is a matter of extreme urgency. The best PhD scientists on the planet are watching the Gulf Stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the following reason. The Gulf Stream is in the process of slowing down, and it will be stopping. It's highly likely and highly possible that these scientists have determined within a fairly close parameters that time frame, that period of time, when the Gulf Stream will be stopping. It's not too far in the future, by the way. Not too far in the future at all. When that happens, it's not a matter of if, when that happens, please look at a map first. England, Ireland, and Scotland are as far north as Moscow. The reason England, Ireland, and Scotland have the temperate, mild weather they do is because of the Gulf Stream. Once the Gulf Stream stops, England, Ireland, and Scotland get the weather of Moscow. That's going to be pretty significant, especially when nothing in the country is built to survive the kind of harsh winters that Moscow is built to survive. The pipes aren't buried deep enough. They don't have furnaces heavy enough duty. They don't have the insulation to deal with the winters of Moscow. That's a fairly significant change. We've got an ex-caller on hold, Kevin in Northwest Indiana.
Well, I got the maps that you recommended we get of the future water levels.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I would like your definition of the word abrupt. And I would like to know maybe those maps that I got, do you think they're really pretty accurate?
Are you talking about Scallion's maps?
Yes, Scallion's, yes, correct.
Okay. Now, you and I know what we're talking about. We need to bring the listeners up to speed here. There's a gentleman, he's a psychic, Gordon Michael Scallion is his name. His last name is a hyphenated word, Michael Scallion. Scallion has prepared maps which show North America, in fact, the world, but we'll just talk about North America, what the North American continent looks like after these oceans have settled to their new levels. Now, before you start saying, oh, it's just a psychic, I've been investigating murders for 35 years, and I know law enforcement for decades has used psychics to help solve murders. You know, psychics do have capabilities. Now, I've taken these maps, the same map you're talking about here, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I've showed it to three different submarine veterans in different times and places. These men don't know each other. Now, these men all saw what I can't get my hands on. They all saw the actual U.S. Navy maps, which are classified, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what they say. From the Rocky Mountains east, which, of course, is, you know, three-fourths of the United States, from the Rocky Mountains east, Scallion's map is very accurate except for Wisconsin. The Navy maps show Wisconsin being underwater. Scallion's map does not.
That's
now,
right.
In addition, you know, there's about 20 other psychics who prepared about 20 different maps. I've shown a number of these maps to these veterans. They all conclude that Scallion's is the closest to the U.S. Navy maps when it comes to the Rocky Mountains east. Now, from the Rocky Mountains west, they say Scallion is way off base. The U.S. Navy classified map shows a dramatic less damage to the West Coast than Scallion does.
Well, I came to that conclusion myself personally, and with this thought being my reasoning, is that it would probably take a large meteor hit to level all the mountains out there in order to the water to go over where Scallion has them.
Well, you're right. And what the Navy is saying is basically is that those plates, the Pacific plate and the North American continent plate, are going to slip apart. And that's a fairly common scenario that a lot of geologists and people who study earthquakes are familiar with, is the Pacific plate slipping away under the ocean. Because a good portion of dry land in California is part of the Pacific Plate. And if that breaks loose and slips under the ocean, that's the most likely scenario for the West Coast.
Okay, now back to the word abrupt.
Okay, let's talk about abrupt. And here's what I've got from these Navy veterans. Independently, men who don't know each other at different times and places. The U.S. Navy says that when these events, when this ice starts breaking off the Antarctic primarily, it'd be some Greenland, of course. When this starts in sincerity, the final portion of it, it'll be about a 30-day period of time when the real breakup of the Ross Ice Shelf, for example, and some of these other big ice shelves down there, commences and gets to the point where these oceans are coming up in a dramatic and fast fashion over a period of about a month. Now, that's pretty abrupt. And it's not going to be like filling a bathtub with warm water. It's going to be, there's going to be a slosh effect. Once again, going to the Navy's classified briefings, damage on the East Coast up to the Blue Ridge Parkway. Now, that will be tidal waves coming in from the ocean, damaging the East Coast up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is a typically 80 to 100 mile moors from the East Coast right now.
Okay.
On the eastern edge of the Smoky Mountain, the Appalachian Mountains.
So, in essence, the word the definition for abrupt has two different time meanings because of locations on the planet.
Yes, sir. Now, that's the ocean levels. Now, with the Gulf Stream, the North Atlantic Thermohaline Conveyor, that also will be fairly abrupt. Once the Gulf Stream stops moving that warm water from the southern Atlantic to the northern Atlantic, and from the Caribbean to the northern Atlantic, that's going to be a pretty abrupt change also. And at that point, England, Ireland, and Scotland will have the climate of Moscow instead of what they've had all these past centuries.
Okay, well, this is why I wanted to know the definition of abrupt, because if it's a tidal wave type of scenario where a slash that you mentioned, then there really is no forewarning. And that pretty much is...
Not for the average public, not for the public. There won't be...
Right. That's what I'm thinking. See, there won't be any way for them to get in their cars and drive and be out of harm's way.
Absolutely not. Now, I do a lot of live speaking engagements. I'll ask my audience, would the government lie to you, to 100 or 200 people? And everybody laughs and makes fun of that comment because, of course, the government would lie to us. Most adults with an IQ above room temperature are in agreement that, given the opportunity, and if it would suit their own needs, the government would lie to us.
Okay, so what you're saying is, even though we see 30 days in advance that things are major happening, the people will still not respond, and a tidal wave is going to get most of them.
I believe that will be the case.
Yeah.
The Antarctic is the most remote place on the face of the earth, and
So we won't know when.
Yeah, shutting down news out of there is a pretty simple thing to do.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that really.
If the governments of the world don't want news coming out of there, no news is going to come out of there, including the Ross Ice Shelf breaking up and falling into the ocean. The Ross Ice Shelf is the size of Texas, and it is above the water level. A mile. It's 3,000 to 5,000 feet above sea level. Ice the size of Texas. That's just one ice shelf. There are several others that are almost as large. And you calculate that kind of water and ice in cubic miles. And when that hits the oceans, it's going to be an event of biblical proportions, so to speak. Sheldon in Arizona, are you there, sir?
Hello, John.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I believe that this is the first time I've called into your show. I have my own online talk show. I get into talking about weather modification, and it was Chris Gerner that inspired me to get into research in that. Now, I heard on a past show where you were on Frank Whalen, you had mentioned that a number of agencies are relocating out to Denver. Is there any updates on that?
No specific updates, Sheldon. Here's what you're going to observe if you look carefully. Associated Press, United Press International, and you need to dig on these because the wire service will have in their daily archives and their older archives a lot of news that won't make the front page of Drudge or, of course, your newspaper or Time or Look or Life magazine, whatever these News Weekly, U.S. News and World Report. If you look at these wire services carefully on a regular basis, you'll see where government offices of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people are being moved away from Washington, D.C. and other places near the ocean and to higher ground on the interior of the country. You'll be saying, I've already observed it. I don't have the time to do that research all the time, but I have observed that. And this will continue to happen incrementally. The main evacuation won't begin for another 19 months, and that's not going to be all government agencies. It's just going to be a few government agencies and a few thousand people and their families. I'm already having different government employees contact me, Sheldon, and they're very disappointed and upset to find out that they're not on the list, them and their families, to be evacuated with the select and chosen few. Typically, it's going to be people connected to the intelligence services, connected to science and technology that the New World Order, the government, considers necessary for continuity of government. And if you work for the Social Security or Department of Health, Human and Health and Services, and or Medicare or Medicaid, things of that nature, you're not going to be on the list because you're not important enough.
Right. That's all I wanted to know. I know you're up against the clock here, so thanks, John.
Okay, thank you, Sheldon. Yeah, we are against the clock. I expect to hear the music here momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, these events continue to move forward, and it's inevitable. It can't be stopped. If you're listening and wondering what I'm talking about because you haven't heard this show before, you need to bring yourself up to speed. If you have not got a copy of my article, no need for panic. I just ran off another 50 copies last week. My article is 18 pages with footnotes, a bibliography, a list of websites. There's 5,000 pages of research you can get into, real books that really are in the Library of Congress. TheLibertyMan.com.